Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that. We don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
Today it's my pleasure to welcome the Stanley Cup champions, the St. Louis Blues. I watched it very carefully. I watched that season. And I said, gee, they're not doing very well this year, but you'll see the story. It's an amazing story of comebacks. Congratulations. These are great champions behind me, great athletes. I always respect great athletes, but they're also very smart because you can't win unless you're smart. Takes more than just the muscles, right?
Yes, it does. Making America great again at the White House yesterday. The Blues all showed up. What a great ceremony. And I was a little jealous. All these people I knew were up there in the Rose Garden. I guess my invitation got lost.
Mine too.
Mm-hmm. How that happened.
Mine three. It was cool to see all those people we knew up there, though.
Yes, indeed. All filtered in there. We talked to Frank Cusimano up there yesterday. You see the president's jersey? It said Trump 45 on it, the Blues jersey. That was pretty awesome.
That's cool.
That was pretty awesome. How great was it to see a team largely made up of players from a foreign country, but representing St. Louis, no controversy, went to the White House to be honored by the President of the United States, no false resist movements, no fists in the air, no disrespecting of this great country that made their careers possible. How great a feeling was that yesterday to watch that, to stand up, to respect the president. He respected them. He spoke lovingly of little Layla. He invited her up at the podium. I thought that was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Funny part was listening to the announcer for the White House slaughter Alex Petrangelo's name when he invited them up. And then the president slaughtered Craig Berube's name.
He did. Yeah.
Baraby, I think he called him, didn't he?
Yeah. Baraby. Well, and we had heard it so much over the season that when he did it, I was like, oh, come on, man.
And you know, all you want is your name to be pronounced correctly when, you know, the president's
it too.
It's like, I follow this team. I love this team. Craig Baraby here. I'm like,
oh.
It was
we know
so
you're
great.
Busy, man.
But. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, at least we have hockey to look forward to.
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, I watched yesterday. I was frustrated. I saw the Cards getting their rump handed to them there in the first inning. And you felt horrible for the pitcher. You felt horrible for the players that duffed that simple, should have been a pop fly out to right field. And I'm like, oh, there's something in the Cards here.
Yeah.
No pun intended. There's something. There's a little bit of destiny involved here for the Nationals. And the Cardinals just happened to get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. Think about what happened for the Nationals here, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a Nationals fan, although I'll root for them now that they beat the Cardinals. They get to sit home and rest and nurse their injuries and get the other series is up at 2-1 now.
Yeah, the Astros.
It could
late.
Go to seven because the Yankees are a good team. They just haven't done much so far. In the meantime, the Nationals get to rest on their laurels and play a little golf and get ready for
I keep
the World
wondering
Series.
If Bryce Harper wished that he had stayed.
Yeah. Is he with the Nationals at one point?
He was.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I was thinking, I don't know anything about the Nationals.
They finally make it to the World Series and Bryce Harper.
Harper's not there.
Yeah, but what, you know, that ceremony yesterday the for the Blues. What an up yours to LeBron James. I had people.
LeBron James.
I had people reaching out to me on social media yesterday. Where did you get that? Where can I find that soundbite? And I had to send them a link, a Google link to the little kid.
You know, so you are encouraging more people to walk around yesterday going, LeBron James.
So many relationships are going to be ruined over this.
LeBron James.
No one can even say it that way. Like, it's just, yeah. I mean, we all try.
Everybody thinks they can.
LeBron, he just needs to shut it at this point. There's no defending what he said or the way he said it, because it's just so obvious that he's in the tank for whoever his tennis shoe endorsement company tells him to be in the tank for. And in this case, it's not the United States, it's China. It's not pro-democracy forces anywhere, which gave him the opportunity to be the best player in the greatest country in the world. He just doesn't get it. He doesn't care. He cares about the almighty dollar, clearly. I don't know. And national championships, maybe. One of the two. That's what he's doing. We've got a great show for you today, folks. We're going to, by the way, we're going to talk to Cassie Smedley coming up, Genevieve Woods, Stacy on the right. I've got Jeffrey Boyd coming in, city alderman. You know what the city did yesterday? They unanimously passed a bill that requires the 20 federal firearms licensees who operate within the city limits to report to the police, who are clearly sitting around chomping on chips and eating donuts and have nothing better to do. They have to report to them anytime somebody comes into a gun shop and fails a background check. If you come in to buy a gun legally because you have no fear, clearly you think you're going to pass the background check, and for some reason you fail the background check, it's now going to be a law in the city that gun owner, gun shop owner, has to report the fact that you failed it to the St. Louis City mm-hmm. Police Department. It's the most inane law that I've ever heard of in my life. We're going to let Jeff Boyd come in here and try to explain to us why the people in the city of St. Louis on the Board of Aldermen think this is going to make one bit of difference in the drive-by shootings and the basically mass murders that happen in this city over the course of 12 months. Tell me one example of how it's going to change any of that, because the bottom line is criminals don't shop for guns at gun stores. That's not where they come from. This is just insanity is what this is. So we're going to get to the bottom line on that at about 8:10. What I did promise earlier was we're going to give away a t-shirt. We'll do it right now. A Where's Hunter t-shirt. There's only a handful of these in existence. You can have one if you're caller number 12 at 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797. Caller 12 gets the next Where's Hunter t-shirt. We'll give another one away in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know. Probably not. I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life that if my last name wasn't Biden.
Joe! There it is. Some of the breaking news where we finally got the admission that, no, I probably wouldn't have been on the Burisma board if my dad hadn't been the vice president of the United States. Thank you, Hunter. I think we have all the evidence we need to prove the conflict of interest that existed there, despite the fact that Anderson Cooper doesn't want to acknowledge it. Let me get to my guest, Cassie Smedley, joining us this morning, press secretary with the RNC. Cassie, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Great to be with you.
Yeah, you know, I had so much to watch last night. I almost overheated my remote. I had the Cardinals game on where we were getting humiliated by the Nationals. I had the Democratic debate on where America was being humiliated by the people on the stage. Or I could have watched ABC where Hunter Biden admitted his conflict of interest with his dad and his job in the Ukraine. What a night.
And I'm sorry to say for your Cardinals, I think for your purposes, the best TV really was the Hunter Biden interview.
Yeah, it sounds like it, yeah.
But I know we have the luxury. I was at the office watching. We have four TVs in our office, so I was able to keep them all going. But that's the thing. The Hunter Biden interview absolutely didn't help. the Biden team at all. I actually, hats off, I know we do a lot of nodding against the media when we talk, but hats off to Amy Robach for asking the questions, because as you pointed out, Anderson Cooper, when he brought it up, that great courageous moment that he actually brought it up to Joe Biden, he qualified it with saying, and by the way, we know none of this has been proven true. I mean, who gets that special treatment but Joe Biden, even when his son just finished giving an interview where he said, yeah, it probably wasn't the best use of judgment. And yeah, my dad and I did talk about it. And when we talked about it, he asked me if I knew what I was doing. And then he goes on to allow him to say, but, you know, my dad and I never really talked about it other than that one moment. But this is the problem. And we know that more than 3/4 of Americans believe that it should be investigated, that there's something there that looks funny. It was Peggy Newton who said it this weekend. This is the type of swamp behavior that the American people just hate. And he confirmed that it was happening. And I think, as Joe Biden's brother said, you know, the family business is profiting off of Joe Biden. The name is the business. And that's the, whether or not anything improper happened per se, the look of it is what we hate about it. It shouldn't have been happening. And it's a problem that Joe Biden has never asked to account for it, because clearly this is something that he knows his family has been doing with his blessing for his entire political career.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Back to the debate last night, which I'm sure you were watching on another television there at RNC headquarters. Clearly, Elizabeth Warren was the target of a lot of the people on the stage last night because she's at the top of the polls in many of the recent polls. Is there anything she's not willing to give away to get elected is my question. And she has no clue on how to pay for it or how to explain that to the American people.
That's right. I'm not sure how many additional agencies and programs we added to the list last night, but it seemed like every time she spoke, she'd say, well, that will be something that we need. That's something that we will create. And I give credit to those on the stage, Tulsi Gabbard chief among them, those who may not have another opportunity to be on stage. So they took their moment to try and get some answers out of her, particularly how we're going to pay for it. I love that Elizabeth Warren is the only thing that can make Democrats sound fiscally conservative, and only because they're trying to get her to admit that it is going to be an astronomical tax increase to pay for any of this, and she refuses to admit that. She's still trying to go out there and act like free means free when we know that's not the case, and it's really telling when your own Democrat counterparts are the ones that are fed up with your lies on that particular front. But Elizabeth Warren definitely was the front runner last night. There were moments where Bernie Sanders, you forgot if he was on stage or if he'd gone to take a bathroom break. He was out of it for a while.
And Biden looked old. I said it looked like he wandered out of an assisted living facility somewhere.
Well, you know, in each of these debates, it becomes clear of the persona that the media is trying to create about Joe Biden, and I think actually has created this cool with it, Joe Biden. And then you see the debates and you see that he really is a candidate from years past. And he didn't make it that far the last few attempts. And you remember why. He's just not clear on the issues. He's not crisp on his positions on the issues. And when he does get up there side by side with these folks that I think just have more energy and passion for the election. I may not agree with them, but he certainly doesn't look like he's really meant to be in it, as Beto O'Rourke.
No, I would agree. And here's the worst news for Democrats out of last night. Let me play this.
Now we're feeling what not having hope feels like.
So the one woman in America who would be least likely to want the job of president in a hypothetical poll would be leading right now if she declared tomorrow that she was running for president. That's how desperate the Democrats are this election cycle.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you've got people like Hillary Clinton and Mike Bloomberg who clearly don't seem to be getting what they want out of this Democrat. You know, they have the largest stage of candidates ever. And yet you've got other folks on the outside saying, you know, maybe I should jump in. I don't know that we're going to get it from them. I think that tells you all you need to know about how concerned Democrats are about their candidate's ability to beat Donald Trump. But the dirty little secret here is it's not Donald Trump. It's what he has done. It's that he's going to go up there and talk about results.
Yeah.
And that's what you don't hear about in these debates. They absolutely refuse to give him a word of credit on the economy, so much so that they fabricate numbers to try and support their statements. And then, of course, they get fact-checked all night long. Even I saw a reporter who was no friend to Republicans last night saying, no, you really have to stop saying that Ohio has lost jobs. We have gained jobs.
Thank you.
So, right. So I think those are the moments that are really going to backfire when whoever gets across the stage from Donald Trump.
That's the truth. Cassie Smedley, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great week.
We will talk soon. Appreciate that. At CM Smedley. That's S-M-E-D-I-L-E. At CM Smedley. If you want to follow her on Twitter, at GOP there as well. All right. 314-241-9797. Congrats to Gary from Redbud. Won our Where's Hunter t-shirt. First round. We'll give another one away in the 8 o'clock hour. I've got Genevieve Wood coming up at 7:10. Stacy on the right at 7:35. Don't miss it.
If someone does not turn in an AR-15 or an AK-47, one of these weapons of war, or brings it out in public and brandishes it in an attempt to intimidate, as we saw when we were at Kent State recently, then that weapon will be taken from them. If they persist, there will be other consequences from law enforcement.
Well, there's Beto reaffirming whatever your worst fears were about his confiscation plan in the U.S. We're going to talk more about this. I want you to hear that entire exchange, between Anderson Cooper and Beto O'Rourke. It went on for almost a minute because I think even Anderson Cooper couldn't quite believe what he was hearing being proposed on the stage. And then the question should have gone to all the other candidates. Do you support this kind of insanity? Unconstitutional insanity, I should point out. So I'm going to play that for you when we get back here in just a couple of minutes. And I want to point out, speaking of guns, we're going to have Jeffrey Boyd on, alderman from the 22nd Ward, at about 8:10 this morning. The city just passed an ordinance that would require gun stores to report to police if somebody failed a background check. In other words, if the system works and they're not able to buy a gun, they then want that reported to the police who entered the information in the system to begin with. Anyway, we'll let Jeff Boyd explain why he supports a law like that at about 8:10 this morning, so stay tuned. Hey, right now, let's get to the business report. Jennifer Kashenka is joining us this morning. Jennifer, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
We're licking our wounds here a little bit after that Nationals sweep.
I'm sorry.
That's kind of rough. Yeah. I know the baseball world probably enjoyed it, but not us here in St. Louis.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. You sound so calming for us this morning. We appreciate that. What's going on on Wall Street?
All right. Futures moderately lower this morning on concerns that tensions with the U.S. over the Hong Kong protests may make striking a trade deal more complicated. The House has passed a series of bills backing pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong, drawing a strong rebuke from China. Meanwhile, despite a Chinese promise to buy more U.S. farm products, questions remain over how much, the time frame for purchases, and what the U.S. might have to give in return. Beijing is pushing the U.S. to drop plans to impose new 15% tariffs on $156 billion in consumer goods. Starting December 15th, it could use the farm purchases as leverage. Chinese negotiators continue to say purchases must be based on actual demand and at fair market prices. The Wall Street Journal notes that the $50 billion in farm products touted by President Trump is far beyond what China has historically spent and would likely require Beijing to lean heavily on its state-owned firms to accomplish. Three major drug distributors are in talks to pay $18 billion to settle sweeping litigation brought by state and local governments, blaming them for fueling the opioid crisis, paving the way for a broad resolution to lawsuits that have shaken the pharmaceutical industry. The Wall Street Journal says the three distributors, McKesson, Amerisource, Bergen, and Cardinal Health, would collectively pay $18 billion over 18 years under the deal currently on the table. A Missouri appeals court has overturned a $110 million verdict against Johnson & Johnson in a lawsuit by a Virginia woman who says she developed ovarian cancer after decades of using its talc-based products. The ruling, which reverses a 2017 judgment in favor of the plaintiffs, said the Missouri court lacked the authority to judge the case. J&J faces about 15,500 lawsuits related to body powders containing talc. The ripple effects of the UAW strike against GM are starting to be felt, with car dealers reporting low inventory on popular models and repair shops scrambling to find parts for GM vehicles. They aren't the only ones feeling the pinch. The walkout is costing GM as much as $90 million a day. State and local governments are also getting squeezed due to reduced tax revenue. Small businesses, especially those near GM plants, are struggling from a lack of foot traffic. And as many as 75,000 non-GM workers at supplier plants have either been laid off or suffered cuts in their hours or wages. And as student debt balances have soared in recent years, the ability of graduates to buy a home has dwindled. Realtor.com notes that some 42.8 million people owe $1.5 trillion on their student loans, an amount that is nearly twice as large as the total value of the homes available for sale across the country at $780 billion. In some states, the average student debt holder has a much easier time making the dream of home ownership into a reality. Realtor.com found that Ohio had the most affordable down payment. The average down payment in the Buckeye State, roughly half the size of the average borrower's outstanding student loan debt. Missouri is the seventh most affordable. At the other end of the spectrum, Hawaii's average down payment, nearly twice as large as the average student loan balance. Mark?
Well, that's good to know, because they, I grew up in Ohio. Who knew that they had that something that reasonable there? That's amazing.
There you go.
Glad I'm not there anymore. All right, good deal. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it, Jennifer. Thank you. Yeah, that's good stuff. I wanted to get back to this Beto O'Rourke bike that I promised you a few minutes ago. This was an exchange last night between Beto and Anderson Cooper on the issue of gun confiscation. And it's the question that's come up several times is, if I didn't buy my gun from the government, how can the government buy it back? That's not a buyback, that's confiscation. And basically what he's saying here is he'd try to find some members of the military or law enforcement who would actually cooperate with that nonsense. Go to cut 42, please.
My fellow Americans, to follow the law, the same way that we enforce any provision, any law that we have right now. We don't go door to door to do anything in this country to enforce the law. I expect Republicans, Democrats, gun owners, non-gun owners alike,
Congressman,
to
let me follow up.
Follow the law.
Just to follow up, your expectations aside, your website says you will find people who don't give up their weapons. That doesn't take those weapons off the street. So to be clear, exactly how are you going to take away weapons from people who do not want to give them up, and you don't know where they are?
If someone does not turn in an AR-15 or an AK-47, one of these weapons of war, or brings it out in public and brandishes it in an attempt to intimidate, as we saw when we were at Kent State recently, then that weapon will be taken from them. If they persist, there will be other consequences from law enforcement. But the expectation is that Americans will follow the law. I believe in this country. I believe in my fellow Americans. I believe that they will do the right thing.
Yeah, I believe my fellow Americans will never vote for somebody who's as insane as a Robert Francis O'Rourke. That's what I believe. He's going to kick your door in. If you don't think, if you think that we're all just paranoid when we talk about the fact that they want a gun registry, why else would they need a list of what weapons you own? Because they're going to come and get them. They're going to check their list twice. And when they realize that you haven't come forward with your scary black rifle, they're going to come and kick your door in and try to take it from you. You talk about problems in this country. These will be problems like we've never seen in modern times. Trust me on that.
Hey, I mentioned Anderson Cooper did a nice job, though.
At least he followed up on it, right?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, he was trying to get to the point
of where
he's
coming from, and it didn't. I thought he did a pretty nice job.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that he tried to pry some truth out of Beto O'Rourke. Hey, I'm going to get to the phones here when I come back. 314-241-9797. We'll talk about the city with their new law on people who've been rejected from buying weapons at city gun stores. We'll be right back.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
There you go. Watch out for Corn Pop, please. Let me get to Charlie here on line one. Charlie, thanks for holding on for so long. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks for telling me that you're going to get to me. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Just let me hang. What's on my mind? Normally, Mark, I agree with 99% of what you say. In fact, I can't even remember the last time I disagreed with you on something.
Smart man.
However, I used to work at a gun store, and I bought a lot of guns legally at gun shops. In fact, one time at Cabela's, I witnessed a straw purchase taking place. You know, I saw the guy point to the gun and say, that's the one I want. And then I saw the woman go up and fill out the NICS information. So I told the guy at the counter. And he just said, all right. And all they did was they pretended to call it in, and they told the lady it was denied. And they said that's how they deal with straw purchases, which just blew my mind. I believe that we need to, as a nation, arrest every one of these people that lies on their NICS form. And if it takes the local police getting involved to do that, let's do it, because it's a felony.
Okay, and I don't disagree with you on that, Charlie, except that that's not what the law in St. Louis would do. All it would do is require a gun store licensee in the city to call police to report it anytime somebody failed a background check. You don't just fail a background check because you lied on the form. Most people who would go to a licensed gun store to buy a gun, fill out a NICS background check report and turn it in, have every belief in the world that they're going to pass the background check. Now, if there's something that shows up in there that causes them to fail it, guess what? Law enforcement is the group that put that information in there to begin with. Law enforcement already knows this individual has a criminal record. You haven't violated the law because you failed a background check. I mean, this means the system worked. So I've been checking with John Henderson out at the range this morning to make sure I'm not missing something here. His answer to me is law enforcement knows you're a criminal regardless of where you committed the crimes, because the NICS system is a federal system. And what I heard Lewis Reed argue on Channel 4's report this morning is that, well, we need to call police because if they fail the system here, they're just going to go try it another store. Well, it's not going to work at another store either, because they all use the same NICS criminal background system. Criminals are not buying their guns at FFL dealers.
I understand that, and I agree. But my point is, we are not prosecuting these people that know that lie about on their NICS form when it says, have you been adjudicated to have a mental illness or treated for a mental illness, you know, and have you been convicted of a felony? Have you been convicted of spousal or any type of abuse? Have you had a restraining order? When they lie, that's a felony.
No, I would agree with that. I question, and I'm going to have to run, Charlie, but I appreciate you calling in. I question what percentage of buyers fit that bill. I'd say it's minuscule, and we can confirm that with the folks at the range. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.